And our guest tonight is Winter Lake, talking about his work, The Satanic Paradigm and the Book of Black Magic, and why he is a Satanist. More in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. May 21st, 2011, number of billboards up all around the country talking about the end of our days. What do you think of that, Winter?
I think it's going to be a bunch of hogwash.
Good.
Yeah, I remote view far as even 2050, so we're got a lot of time. There was going to be a lot of upheaval in the middle of that, but we have time.
It's a bumpy road ahead, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going to be very extreme.
Mankind doing that?
Mankind self-inflicted. Unfortunately, there's not going to be much else than that. There is alien influences as well, but they cannot reach us in any grand scale. We're too far out. The closest system being the Aldebaran system, that's 69 million light years away. Actually, no, it's not even a million. It's 69 light years away, I believe. I could be wrong. That proposes the only closest life entity near us. So,
tell me about the Satanic Paradigm. What's that all about?
The Satanic Paradigm is my treatise on what Satan is, how he functions in our world, the energy of Satan. It goes into a series of rituals that can be conducted, satanic rites that are cutting edge in order to get closer to that power. It touches on H.P. Lovecraft being more than just a writer, and there is some Lovecraftian rituals in there as well.
He was the science fiction horror writer, right?
Correct. But he was more than that, especially when he was in New York City with Houdini. He ghostwrote Under the Pyramids for Houdini. They were practicing magic and cult things together in an area known as Red Hook, which is in Brooklyn. And his wife, Sonia Green, was very much into it, and so was Houdini's wife. But in The Satanic Paradigm, I touch on some of that, and as well as innumerable other things. I go into Anton LaVey, his death, and some of the recurrent themes that are going on about people taking his name. It's become so rampant. He's worshipped like a god, so it's quite interesting what's occurring. That's part of what, you know, the third wave is all about as well.
How did LaVey get into this?
He got into it from being a child, similar experience. Obviously, we're all children, but he had a similar experience to myself and others as a child. He had been drawn to dark entities, and he had had experiences that were supernatural, everything from old hag syndrome to bats and other things. So, yes, I mean, you know, and those are gateway things. And now LaVey is viewed as a gateway into the occult because his book is still so widely published. He sold millions of copies. So that's how he got into it. And then he had just carried on with it. And there's been some conjecture, and there were some people that turned against him. But his Church of Satan still exists, and there are people that, had, you know, still carry on with the work, and myself included. And it's been one wild ride, and it's going to continue.
Would you be considered to be high up in the church?
No, I am actually a shadow. I do not really get involved in any of that. There are people that are, and I don't really chat with them. And that is the key about being involved in the Church of Satan for myself, is that we could be a part of a group but not have to be all, you know, involved and crested and so on and so on. Now, there are people that are doing that, and I'm not. I am just a member, and that's where I'd like to keep it.
Doing a show like this, is that unusual for you?
Yes. I decided to do it just because I am so drawn to Coast to Coast. I love the themes, and I think you're great, and I think it's a good thing that you are doing. And so I wanted to be a part of it, and I wanted to express some of the supernatural things that I was doing.
Interesting. Let's take a few calls while we continue to chat, Winter. Bob in Eugene, Oregon, you're up with us. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hi. I have a couple of questions, actually. One is like on, you know, you're talking about spells and black magic, and like I used to feel like if somebody was ignorant to it, that they couldn't be done, but I think that that's not the case. But is there counter spells that somebody could do if like you knew somebody was after you?
Yes. Yes, there are. And you would know the telltale signs. You would see certain things start to not go your way. If you see that and you suspect that someone has put something on you, a hex, there are things you could get and ease readily find on the internet as well, but you would have to conduct them, rituals or rites, and you would have to mean it, and you would have to try to break the spell. It's a lot harder to break a spell than it is to bring it. It's very easy to bring it, but it's very hard to break it.
Huh. Okay, go ahead.
Well, if you have no reason, you wouldn't know why they were bringing it.
A lot of people have no reason or motives to what they do. There's just general jealousies and a lot of bitch fighting. Yep.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Thank you. So
it's possible one might not even know who's originating the spell against you.
Even an ancestor, a dead person, yes.
A dead person could do it?
Yes, if they're manifested in a house or in an area that are jealous or angry at the living.
What are the signs, Winter, beyond some health issues, that you know things aren't going your way? I mean, what if it's just rotten luck?
Rotten luck, true. But it's just continuous. You just see it. It would go on for days. It would be up and down.
Like a continuous black cloud over your head?
And it would come and go. Sometimes it would leave, and that's its nature. And then it would come back, and it just seems to always come back, and it's there, and it lingers. Yes, that's when you know something's there.
Well, tell me about a satanic psychic attack. What is that?
If, and I've taken this to this level, into psychometry, there's remote viewing and remote influencing. People, while they sleep, fall into REM, usually through dreams, and this is where their door is open, where their subconscious is open, and that is why they're vulnerable to psychic attack. You get an image of them, you have hair of them, you hone in on your target, you focus your mind, you can focus through the minds of others, and you just subliminally project destruction. Or for that person to be destroyed, or for them to undo themselves.
Have you witnessed one of these psychic attacks yourself?
I've actually done them. Yes, I've psychically attacked people.
Pretty successfully?
Yes.
Instantly?
It works in different time periods. 5 a.m. is a grandiose time.
Why is that?
Because that is when people are in their deepest sleep cycle. You know, University of Chicago did an entire study, and I was there, and I saw it. So.
You hit them in their sleep?
You hit them in their sleep.
They're more vulnerable that way.
Everyone is.
Interesting.
But you can't, you know, no door, no steel. Nothing is going to save that person.
Now, do they feel this as a dream or anything like that?
Yes. And not to deviate into this film that's come out that's kind of touched on it, but yeah, it would come at them as a dream. They would feel chased, you know, inside, or someone's trying to kill them. Heart rate would go up, and sometimes they don't wake up, but usually they get up, they feel drained, and their sleep is never right again because you've tampered with them. So in having that constant sense of sleep and tiredness, that all adds to their eventual destruction.
Let's go to Dallas, Texas, east of the Rockies. Josh, go ahead.
I'm really enjoying the show. Great guest, great subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to know if you find, Winter, a distinction between Satanists and then, let's say, pagans who simply follow the agricultural cycle and, of course, during the dark half of the year or dark part of the year, celebrate Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And winter solstice. Is it one and the same, do you feel, or is it just...
Pagans, you know, a lot of my interests are in Satanism, and pagans denounce that. They are into the agriculture. I never down them. You know, I never down people that are following paganistic ideologies. I think it does mirror Satanism. I just like to call a spade a spade. Witchcraft derives from the wise, and it derived from dark arts. And there's been, in the current trends, since Gardner and a series of other Wiccans have come out, and tried to whitewash it, in my opinion. And I don't really have a taste for it in my mouth, but I know that people are into it and they're doing it. And I do not believe in the law of three. I believe in chaos, and I believe in the fact that karma doesn't exist. If karma existed, the world would have been wiped out a long time ago. Karma.
Right, right. Where can one go online to find where you, I don't know if you just did it as a way of something that comes naturally to you for the producer Ghost, but if one would want a reading from you, where would one go to find out how to contact you?
My network is number 5 on Google in the world, called Psychic Cosmos. Out of the thousands and thousands of remote viewers and psychics, the group is really strong. There are CIA agents in the group.
Wow.
So if you look up psychiccosmos.com, you will find us.
Good deal. Nice talking with you all.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
How did your remote viewing abilities come to you?
Since I was a child, in crystals. I utilized crystals to enhance that ability. And I just called it clairvoyance. And then later in the 80s, I learned about Stargate and Puthoff's work, and they called it remote viewing. It was governmentalist. It was really big, and so I just kept on with it.
Do you ever have a bad day, Winter?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do have bad days. Absolutely.
Caused by just life or people making this happen?
Life. Yeah. Life is never golden. I mean, life is general, you know. We're only, you know, we're existing human beings, you know.
It's ups and downs.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's part of living.
Yeah, but I know the difference when someone is trying to trip me. There's a difference.
Right. What's that old Rocky movie in the last one? It's not how hard you get hit. It's getting up and keep taking it.
That's right.
Let's go next to Sabrina. Now, that's a neat name, in Washington State. Hi, Sabrina. Welcome.
Hello. I am an Alexandrian high priestess.
All right.
And I have dealt with Satanists in the past. I've had covens that have been attacked by Satanist covens, and we've been at war, and it just hasn't been fun.
So you're not a Satanist, but you're a witch.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
She's an Alexandrian. Those are really interesting.
What is that, Winter?
It's a form. It was established by different other gurus, and there's nothing wrong with that. Unfortunately, magic wars have been occurring through the culture.
What's a magic war?
A magic war would be, okay, you have one group that is jealous of one. And during World War II, there were a series of attacks that were sent out by the Thule cultists in Germany against certain cultists in England. And so this would be your, you know, case study magic war. The English witches would send spells of projection to bring down planes. They would avert the Germans. They would prevent, they would raise water. They would prevent the ships. And so the Germans, the Thule cultists, who are still in existence, would do the same thing. And so that is an example of a magic war. But that's on a massive level.
Germany seems to be a focal point for a lot of this.
Yeah, that's where I'm from, Dusseldorf, Germany.
You are? Okay. Yes. Born and raised?
I was born there, yes.
Well, your English is perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I can read German, don't speak it.
Hitler was obsessed with the occult, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He wanted to achieve an occult Reich.
He was after everything.
He was under the influence of others. There were others influencing him. He had gotten a lot of his theories from the Thule cultists, who wanted the Spear of Destiny. And it goes into that, and then, you know, there was a lot of subterfuge. I think what Hitler did was completely wrong. I think he should not have exterminated those 6 million Jews.
Of course not.
I think that was wrong, and that's where he erred. If he did not err in that, it might have been different, but that is where he erred.
Well, prior to that, he had the support of many huge financial people in this country.
He was a millionaire. Yeah. He had Ford on his side.
Where did he, what obsessed him to do that, to kill so many?
Karl Haushofer's ideology perverting, Madame Blavatsky's concept of the Aryan, that started also with the self-loathing discovery in Dollar Shime, Germany that his father was Jewish.
Did he rise to power just by being charismatic?
He did not. There was support, and there was also publicity. It was an extreme amount of publicity after Mein Kampf came out when he was in prison with Hess. And then from there, it just exploded. And he got banners on the street, and people started following him.
What
brought out the swastika?
What possessed him to want to attack everyone?
Well, it was not necessarily just him. The group wanted to. They wanted change to break from the money.
Yeah.
They needed money, and it was the problem, and so they could do their work and move forward.
They convinced him? They pushed him?
Yeah, he was their poster child.
Interesting. It's hard to believe, but you're probably right. There are probably a number of power brokers behind him.
Big time. Ford was a power broker in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they built and developed a lot of...
So was not Union Bank, Prescott
Farben,
Bush?
Yeah, Swiss Bank. And there's still money there.
Lathrop, California, it's Ray's turn west of the Rockies. Hey, Ray, go ahead.
Yeah, I just I heard mention of May 21st, 2011. We've got billboards up and down the I-5 freeway here. It says the world ends. And I heard, on that date, and I heard your guest mention it.
Yes.
Date. Exactly what's that about?
It's going to be a conflict date. There are people that are pushing towards it. There's a fanatical preacher known as Harold Camping who is attempting to bring about his concept of what Revelation is. He is spending a lot of money to make that happen, and there are others that are fighting against him, and I'm one of them.
Oh, you are?
Yes. I'm an enemy of Harold Camping.
Those billboards are expensive.
Yes, that's $5,000 a pop. Yeah, and he's got it. He's done this before, but he's doing it now on a greater scale.
What has possessed him to do this, Winter?
He has interpreted through certain calculus computations the Bible itself, and he's come up with the date. There is some accuracy with his dating. However, it just needs to be prevented, and it will be prevented.
Now, what do you mean there's some accuracy here?
He is an engineer, and he's good at his mathematics, and I embrace mathematics as well because it always gives you an answer, and I'm strong with mathematics, and he is taking certain codes within the Bible, and he's dissected them in a very high computational way through computers and some new science that has come out, and he has come up with this date. It's actually been a date from previous ages as well. But it's going to be usurped.
So you're saying the date's accurate, but the event's not going to happen because there are others who are fighting that?
Correct.
That's interesting. And what would his definition be of the end of the earth? I mean, what would happen?
He is trying to bring about earthquakes, disaster. He has said openly through his work that 7 billion people will not be saved on the planet. Him and his chosen ones shall be. And it's just a ridiculous take on it. And he's spending millions to make it happen. And he's staking his entire radio network, which is filled with FM radio all over the world. So, and he's got all of these different...
And he truly believes this.
Oh, absolutely believes this.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to continue with some phone calls. In our last hour, what I'd like you to do is share some of your stories, how you may have been affected by Satan. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And Skype callers, give me a call at George97313. We'll get that hooked up for you. Winter, do you use your black magic and psychic abilities for your own personal gain? And does it work for you?
Yes, absolutely. I make an extreme amount of money utilizing both facets to, get wealth and make things work for me. Win the lottery, get jobs, get things working, sell work. Yeah, I definitely do that.
You don't put the old number 8 in your wallet?
I want you to be rich.
I'm rich in spirit. That's what matters.
That's wonderful. Well, we need to change some other things. We want you to be very wealthy.
And happiness is important, isn't it? And health. take a few calls here. We'll go to Corbin, Kentucky. Derek is a first-time caller. Go ahead, Derek. You're on with Winter Lake.
How are you doing? One question before I ask my question towards your speaker. How easy is it to get in touch with you through Skype?
Pretty easy. You just dial us up at George 97313.
Cool. All right. Well, my question is, you know, this Corbin, Kentucky, it's very deep in the Bible Belt. And I'm wondering, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm wondering if he can do the black magic, if he would be able to harm me since I'm a believer in Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't think he has a reason to harm you, but go ahead, Winter.
Right.
Yes. You know, you could be harmed. I've actually spent time in the Gorge of Kentucky. There's a huge, not huge, but there's a very large satanic cult there, and Corbin is near there. So, yes, you could be harmed if there were someone of the practitioner that felt slighted by you. It gets into a lot of petty arguments. You know, I don't personally do it. People do it, though, over the most ridiculous things, and they attack believers of Christianity. I'm not an attacker. I'm not, like, coming out and saying I'm just going to attack people because they're Christians. However, I do know people that do, and they take joy in it. So, yes, you could be under threat.
So there is kind of a battle between Satanism and Christianity.
Yes, there is.
You're just not one of them.
I'm not involved in it. I don't waste my energy in trying. And Islam as well.
Good for
Islam.
You. It's Albuquerque, New Mexico. Christina, you're up with us west of the Rockies.
Hi, George. Hi, Winter. Winter, you seem like a very decent man.
I am.
Yes, you do. And
he does. I'm baffled, actually. Not to put you down here, Winter.
I'm very down.
I didn't
earth.
Expect you to be a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm very nice. I do not dabble in just trying to injure people for the sake of injuring. However, I do know people that do that.
But I need your help.
Okay.
I was a twin, and my mother aborted my twin. And I'm not young. I'm 57.
Do you feel plagued?
But I'm plagued by her, and she is either a borderline personality, she's definitely nutty, or she sold herself to the devil for money. I don't know which, but she's, you know, she makes the movie Mommy Dearest look like child's play. They had to scrub the tub with Comet. She scrubbed me with Comet. I have tattoos on my body from where she scrubbed me with Comet, and I tanned over them.
What are you thinking that's going to need to be done? You're going to be plagued for the rest of your life.
If I'm going to be pardoned?
Well, plagued? I mean, you have so many different energies flying around you. It's going to be very
difficult. You feel them, right?
You've fought this war a long time. It's going to
continue. My whole life. Before my life.
Yeah, it's going to be something of an exorcism that's going to be required. You will have to possibly atone with this creature because it is more a creature than human.
And that's true.
And it seeks you, and it's going to just seek your destruction.
That's true. She's always, when she failed to abort me, she has been angry ever since and has thought to destroy me ever since.
How old is she?
Poisoned me.
How old is
she's
she?
80, and she has cancer.
Well,
bear with it. You know, it's...
And she's committed me falsely to mental institutions.
Things occur.
Pardon me?
Things occur. You know, deception is wrought. You know, deception is wrought by a lot of people. And you're just going to have to work through it. I don't recommend any psychotropic medication, but I think that if you just cleanse your space and maybe do a complete severing of ties, you could probably have a good chance of your own life.
Sometimes you might have to just walk away.
Yep.
Let's go to Bell Gardens, California. Juan, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Juan.
Hey, George. I'm a second-time caller, and, you know, I'm 19 years old. I'm a very young listener, but I'm very intellectual.
Well, I'm glad you got us.
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of like... an idol to me, like I look up to you. Well, I mean, I just want to quickly say I'm young. I was in a life of as a gang member. I have 2 years being a Christian, And I've never noticed anything bad, anything like anything of Satan himself, you know, like anything negative in my life until I've been starting to do good. And I just really wanted to quickly say that, you know, now that I feel like now that I'm in the spiritual battle, it's real.
Are you still going over the border? Are you near the border?
What do you mean over the border?
Are you still conversing with the people of the gangs?
I try to, because I'm trying to, I've seen the light, and I'm trying to bring them to this positive, there's good out there, and I'm trying to show them by me, you know, with me, that it could be done.
Are they listening to you, Juan?
Well, you know, the gangs, you know, gangs call me all the time and seek guidance to when they can bring their product over the border, you know, so there's no safe passage here. You still have to get away from them before you can find whatever you're looking for.
Well, my little quick question was just, what is your take on God? Like, where is God in your point of view? Like, do you have any personal conflict against God, you being like believing in Satan and all that?
I think my definition of God is Satan. It's an energy power that permeates the universe. I don't get into the duality arguments. There are, you know, the good and evil. I think it's all one same.
But you do believe in a higher power.
I do think there is a source there, yes.
Okay, well, thank you, George.
Okay, Juan.
Thank you.
Be safe.
All right, you too.
In this higher power, of course, you call Satan. Other people call God, but there's no way it could be one and the same. The God we think of is not evil.
He is one and the same, in my opinion. I think it's all one energy, and it is evil.
And the Creator? It is the Creator?
Yeah, that's a creationist power.
Do you believe in angels, Winter?
Angels are all entities, so yes, I think there are angels, and they embrace more of a white light force.
And were there fallen angels?
There are fallen angels every day. I don't think there was a certain time period for that to occur, although that was embraced in the Bible stories.
Let's go to Hollywood, California. It's John's turn. You might know Winter. Go ahead, John.
Hi, George.
Hi.
It was a very interesting night tonight. I am convinced that, you know, the doorway to the path of enlightenment is to the darkness. And that I can prove to you that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Darkness because he was born at midnight, not at high noon. So that changes the whole equation right there. And I would like your guest to give me his take on that. Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, Jesus Christ was in a lot of hypothesis a man who lived, and he did, during his life of 33 years, utilize magical powers to raise people from the dead and subdue certain people. But he did, in the sense that is being read, he preached, you know, turn the other cheek. In a sense, that is actually going against man's carnal nature. So he could have been a great devil.
Winter, I'm going to play a little tape for you. I want you to react to it when we get out of it. It lasts 2 minutes. It's a guy who came into our studio a couple of years ago claiming to be a devil channeler. And so I want you to hear it. I want you to listen to his words. Now, the distortion at the end, our engineers played with that as much as they could. So it's a little wobbly. But here we go.
Mr. Kozakoff, go ahead and sit down, get close to the mic. We're just going to kind of leave you here and you do what you need to do, okay?
My name is Dmitry Kozakoff. I was born in 1939 in Moscow. My mother was a practicing witch in the small community that I grew up in. It was during this period that I experienced the supernatural with the one you call Lucifer. At the age of 10, I began experiencing strange things. I would black out and apparently be taken over by this evil entity. I have approached you to talk with him as he has an important message to convey to the world. The fact that you have refused to allow him into your world has infuriated him to no end. The rage is unbearable.
You cannot hide from me, and I can reach you whenever I so choose. The message I have for you is clear. We are winning. Look around you. Wars, crime, evil, famine. Are these things of good? No, we are winning. When we were cast down ages ago because of you, we decided to capture your souls. Little did we know how easy it would be. Yes, there are some of you who are righteous, but not many. Not enough to stop us. I shall prove a point to you. Before what you call Good Friday, I shall demonstrate our strength with an event. Our conviction to lead you down the path of darkness will occur. Witness the event, then bow down to me for mercy, and join me then until the end of time.
Now, Winter, what the heck was that?
I think it's comedy, but it's interesting. I've seen people that have transposed their voices and do things that are different unto themselves, and they need to do that for some reason. Right.
What about his message?
His message is really relevant. There is some sort of war, and some of those practitioners are really into, you know, the concept of taking over and ruling everything, even though it's an impossibility. I think that there are legions and there are lower levels of demonic powers that are essentially gaming at this, and they enjoy the game, and it's real.
Yeah, and you're saying there's like about 100,000 of these people out there in North America?
Yes, yeah.
And growing.
Absolutely. And it's going to occur in many different things, the wars and all these things, but displays of power. Let's see if I can give a display of power. Maybe we could chat on May 22nd, 2011, and after that date, we will have affirmed a display of power.
Maybe so. Back to the calls we go. We've got a Skype caller for you, I believe. I hope he's not ready yet. Let's go east of the Rockies. David in McAllen, Texas. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hey, I got a little display. I was wondering, just want to know what you thought about September 11th being the actual Christmas date. And the other thing is, with Gabriel Giffords, 2 days before that, a boy was shot in Nogales, Arizona, named Ramses. And, I was very distraught by this. And then, unfortunately, she was shot in the head. I was very distraught. I didn't pray for her death, but I was very distraught that young child was shot. And then greed means go September 11th. She was born on September 11th.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, what makes you think that Lucifer doesn't work for Yeshua? She was shot on the Sabbath.
All right.
There are times when there are those that are under the influence of demonic power will carry out their nature. And there will be signs, and this is obviously one of them. During all of the correlations within our past decade, it touches on a lot of different things, from the birth of that person being on that date and then the death of that person on that date. So it shows a significant omen, almost, in a sense.
It does.
Of things, and certain things that culminated from that. And I'm really into those kind of signs. Going back to what I mentioned about John Lennon, that was a big sign. And the Dakota, he was in the very building where Polanski shot the film Rosemary's Baby. You know, he lived there.
And that's weird.
And then he was shot, and then Sharon Tate was murdered by a man who was obsessed with John Lennon's song, Helter Skelter, with his cult. So these singularities occur, and these omens and these different patterns of evil will continue to occur.
Let's go to Pedro's Skype line in the state of Washington. Pedro, go ahead.
Hi, George. I like your show. I listen to it pretty much about every night.
Thank you.
I have a question for your guest today. The thing is I had a dream when I was a kid about 10 years old, and I was out, and a demon came down and came up to me and used his nail puncture my skin, and at first I was scared, but then I felt like this demon knew me or something, and where he punctured my skin, like a black ooze came out of my skin and stuff, and that's always really bothered me and stuff, because not only said, I have an experience with the devil, but my grandfather before me also said that he also had an experience, not the same kind, but that he had a demon come and visit him.
How many people have you discussed this with?
I think you're probably the second person.
Other than your grandfather?
Yeah.
And are you marked?
How do I know if I'm marked? I don't know.
Do you have a black mark on you where you believe that you were pinched?
I have a dark mark on my back that my wife says she's worried that it's like cancerous or something.
Then that's it. Then what there is your mark of the devil.
How do you get rid of this?
The ancestral grandfather knows the answer. Somebody was dabbling in something and they tapped into a realm. Is your grandfather still alive?
No, he died.
Yeah, the cancer, I think it can be benign. Just go to the cemetery where your grandfather is buried and bring him flowers and have a chat. And I think things can be reversed.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Pedro, good luck to you. By the way, Winter, anybody ever tell you you sound like Jack Nicholson?
No, you but did. I met Jack Nicholson.
Did you?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He is. How many people have sold their soul to the devil to succeed?
Thousands.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Why don't they sell their souls to the other higher power?
There is no success there because we're inherently evil. You have to finally accept who you are.
I guess greed is evil, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You want to succeed. You want riches, fame.
Yeah, because that's the naturality of the world. The nature of the world.
I wonder how many people in Hollywood have sold their souls.
Most of them. It's either in a car or the casting couch or in a mansion.
Yeah.
Never either one or the other.
Alex is in Toronto, Canada. Get you in real quickly. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, okay, real quick. I do believe in psychic ability. My only thing is I'm skeptical about the numerology aspect of, for example, your guest mentioned 1999, 2011 being doom and gloom. I think, you know, first of all, like those years are man-made numbers, man-made years. There was no year one, et cetera. So this whole thing was 666. I heard it's something to do with the coordinates of the sun. Anyway, I'll take my answer off the air. I'm just skeptical. Well, I believe in the power of intention, but the numbers themselves, I'm skeptical that they have any actual power.
All right. Well, we will answer that when we come right back at the top of the hour right here. Final hour to go with Winter Lake. We're going to take your phone calls and your stories on events that might have happened to you. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.